Well, hello there. Welcome to the first ever edition of the Wellness Rack podcast. My name is David Lilly and I'll be your host today. We've got an interesting and I believe an exciting first podcast to share with you today. Later on, we'll be hearing from Mrs. Louise Riley, who is one of the two directors of the Wellness Rack. But before that, we're going to start this first podcast with a look at food nutrition. Is this one of the most profound examples to reveal the impact of nutrition on human health? Well, as I'm sure you know, today's consumers could be forgiven for responding skeptically to articles about the health benefits that can be accessed through considered changes in food intake and nutrition. Well, across the last 20 years, no doubt we've all seen the conflicting news headlines in the media about food nutrition. Here are just 10 examples of the headlines I've experienced. Number one, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Paradoxically, number two, you should avoid eating breakfast and let the body's digestive system rest. Point number three, processed foods can cause cancer. Point number four, tomatoes are bad for your gut. Point number five, a glass of red wine each day supports longer life. Number six, too much sugar is a killer. Number seven, the body needs more omega-3. Number eight, it's better to eat more alkaline foods to keep the body in balance. And some say you can avoid cancer by having a body that's more alkaline than acidic. Number nine, the body needs meat. And finally, number 10, plant-rich diets are better for your health. I'm sure you've all heard of some of those yourselves. You've no doubt read the news headlines. Some of you maybe have read the books on these subjects. Now, whatever your view of the accuracy of the 10 points I've just made, one thing is for certain, and I'm not endorsing those comments either way, I would emphasize. But if you search information sources on Google for long enough, you'll find convincing information that may be true or not to support each of the arguments that are being posed. Little wonder then that people are confused about what to believe when it comes to food nutrition. So for those people who are listening to this who require accurate research in support of claims on food nutrition or any type of nutrition, I would say please look for the studies that fall under the heading of systematic reviews. This is typically the gold standard in checking out whether something works or not, or something is real, certainly in scientific terms. An example is a systematic review on the impact of oats on heart health. Perhaps you want to take time to click on the link in the show notes to look at the example that I've shared on that subject. Assuming the authors of these types of systematic review can share auditable professional qualifications, you're likely to find the conclusions to their documents do have integrity and are close to the reality of what is real and true. Let's now concentrate on one real-life story that I believe unequivocally proves the impact of food choices on human health. Now, this story goes back to the 1970s and the country of Finland. In 1972, an international team of academics and scientists uncovered what was regarded as a terrifying public health crisis. In a far eastern province of Finland, a place known as North Karelia, middle-aged men were suddenly dying of heart attacks at the highest known rates in the world at that time. The Finnish Minister for Health recognized the severity of the problem, and as part of the action plan, he decided to appoint a 27-year-old physician, a guy with a master's degree in social sciences. This was a man who would go on to become famous for his role in transforming the health of Finnish people. The man was Pekka Puska, very memorable name. Now, Mr. Puska's brief was to create and lead a project to address the region's significant health crisis. In the years that followed, Mr. Puska pioneered a program that would go on to lower male cardiovascular mortality in a population of 170,000 Finns by some staggering 80%. Now, what an achievement that was. It's one of unparalleled proportions. It's a story of innovation, determination, and huge discipline. Mr. Puska and the researchers quickly concluded what some of the influences were behind these heart problems that were being experienced. Before World War II, North Carolean men were largely lumberjacks. Their diets revolved around hunting game, picking berries and fishing. With the exception of the occasional bear mauling, their main health concerns were tuberculosis, infectious diseases, and death at childbirth. After the war, as part of their compensation plan, some workers were given small plots of land. But lacking in both nutritional knowledge and agricultural skills, many cleared the land to raise pigs and cows. So as a consequence, pork and dairy consumption increased dramatically, and the ingredient of butter was added into almost every meal, butterfried potatoes, buttered bread, etc. Even traditional fish stew was half made with butter. Finnish men were eating the likes of fried pork or meat stew for dinner, supplemented with buttered bread and milk. Interestingly, many regarded vegetables as food that should be intended for animals. To further compound the worrying food consumption trends, by the year 1972, more than half of all men smoked cigarettes. With an initial focus on the bleak borderlands, the country launched an official educational campaign to improve food and lifestyle choices. To do this, they used everything from cozy fireside chats and reality TV shows to adjusting some laws and providing consumer incentives. In what is looked back on as one of the most influential acts, Mr. Puska and his team approached something known as the Martha Organization, a powerful women's group who operated several local clubs. Their objectives were to work with the organization to help influence more nutritionally aware food habits. Now, working in support of Mr. Puska, the clubs conceived the idea of holding what were broadly labelled afternoon longevity parties. These gatherings saw a member of Puska's team giving short nutritional talks, encouraging families to replace butter with oil, meat with vegetables to reduce the use of salt, and to encourage people to stop smoking. The women were given a recipe book that added vegetables to the traditional North Carolean dishes. As an example, the original version of the North Carolean stew typically had only three main ingredients, and they were water, fatty pork, and salt. The Puska initiative replaced some of the pork with potatoes, carrots, and other vegetables. Encouragingly, the women liked the new version of the dish, which they appropriately named Puska's stew. Now, as simple as this sounds, by guiding the women on how to cook attractively tasting, more plant-based meals, Puska had found a way to disseminate the health message better than any leaflet could. Mr. Puska then progressed his commendable project by going from village to village, essentially on tour, with the objective of recruiting more nutrition ambassadors, let's call them. He had conviction in the belief that the best way to spark cultural change was from the bottom up, from people on the ground up, not from government down. As his work began to gather momentum, he recruited some 1,500 people, usually women, who were already involved in other civic organizations. He awarded each ambassador with a formal identification card, and he taught them simple tactics to reduce the use of salt and animal products, and he encouraged the ambassadors to spread the word and to talk to their friends. Mr. Puska's modest and underfunded team tried everything they could reasonably muster to infiltrate the communities. And as part of this, Mr. Puska embarked on a type of roadshow, speaking relentlessly at a variety of local churches, community centres and schools. He became the face of this new health movement, gaining a small army of supporters who shared his passion to spread the message. Now, as well as the focus on communities, Mr. Puska also began to strategically lobby food producers. His view, quite rightly, was the world's best nutritional education programme was of limited benefit if food producers did not become more conscious of the ingredients that they were placing into manufactured food. As an example, the regional sausage company loaded their products with pork fat and salt. Traditional breads were laced with butter. Carolean cows developed from breeds known as fin cattle produced some of the fattiest milk in the world, and dairy subsidies rewarded high fat content. Now, to begin with, none of the businesses were interested in formulating healthier versions of their product. They saw this as a potential risk to their profits. And to illustrate their initial resistance, the powerful dairy industry fought back, some of them even taking out adverts that were critical of Mr. Puska's project. Unfortunately for the food companies, some of the adverts had the opposite effect to that which was intended, as the adverts sparked a public debate, raising the question of the connection between dairy and heart disease. During the summer months, fruits such as blueberries, raspberries, and lingberries reaped big crops in the region, and North Carolinians loved them. However, the Finns only ate them in the short berry season. To spread the value of this rich berry crop, intelligently, Puska's team supported the formation of organizations and businesses to freeze, process, and to distribute the berries throughout the year. Added to this, they lobbied local dairy farmers to allocate some of their land to grow more berries, and they also convinced food retailers to stock and sell frozen berries. As soon as these berries became available throughout the year, fruit consumption began to soar. North Carolinians love their pork sausage, and Puska understood he was not about to get people to easily give it up. So once again, intelligently, he appealed to the regional sausage maker to gradually reduce salt and replace pork fat with a filler made from locally grown mushrooms. Now, customers didn't even notice the taste difference. In fact, sausage sales actually increased after the addition of the mushroom. The project also successfully took aim at smoking. It convinced workplaces and legislators to adopt smoke-free policies. They pioneered smoking cessation programs, and they pitted villages against each other in contests to see which could achieve the most participation in reducing smoking. And over the last 30 years, the country has reduced salt consumption by a staggering third, accompanied by large decreases in the rates of hypertension. All-cause mortality has fallen by 45%. Today, men in Finland live approximately 7 to 8 years longer, and women 6 years longer. And so, to conclude my article, the incredible story of Mr. Puska and his dedicated team, together with the unquestionable statistics, facts, and the trend revealed by historic Finnish health records, prove that our food habits definitely influence our physical health, and that can be either in a positive or a negative way. Now, what does this story teach us? For me, it teaches us that there is a clear opportunity for similar strategies to the ones that Mr. Puska conceived and distributed decades ago to be brought back into play to deliver value to communities around the world today. And I would say that even includes here in the United Kingdom. It's really hard to dispute the declaration that when you listen to this story, when you read this story, it really is hard to dispute the declaration that we really do become what we eat. Well, sat quietly away in the background while I was telling the story about Finland and Mr. Puska is Louise Riley. Louise Riley is one of the two directors of the Wellness Rack, part of the Infinite Group. And I'm curious, Louise, as someone that's very knowledgeable in nutrition, what are your thoughts as you listen to the story about Mr. Puska and the story of Finland?
My first take on it, really, listening to the story, was more to do with the fact that, first of all, how there was a notable change in their diet because of circumstances. That was the first thing. But then isn't that down to, first of all, the situation, its circumstances often lead the choices that you make. And it was after the world, the war, that they changed their diet. But because of lack of education around nutrition, as well as agriculture, that was the biggest thing, that they needed to be educated. So because they were lacking in education, they made some bad choices. So when Puska came along and he realized he needed to educate people, but it wasn't just going in and saying, this is what you need to do. The education, he had to get people on board. It was working together as a team. So it was the teamwork and getting people educated at all levels and influencing people. And it was the small changes that brought the big results. So, but it's the consistency of making those small changes. It gives what I call a compound effect. And you're not going to see the changes straight away, but if you can continue with the consistency of those small changes, then you get the results. And that was seen then, obviously, in the facts of what happened at the end of the results that they got with their health and well-being. So it was really the take of the education, lack of education, need to educate at the lowest common denominator, get people to work together as a team to get the results. Small changes bring big results.
What I found really interesting, Louise, is through the course of some of my corporate work, a few years ago, I had course to do some research on Greggs. We all know Greggs, famous for their steak bake, and nowadays their vegetarian version of the steak bake or their vegetarian sausage roll. And what a lot of people listening to this may not realize is the amount of work that Greggs have done scientifically on the ingredients that they put into their food, the level, the amount of sugar they put into things, and how they can actually reduce that down. So they're still continuing to sell the same types of food that have been appealing for years, but they're trying to make this, I guess, generally less healthy version of food as healthy as it can be. Well, what I'll do is I'll drop a link to a story about Greggs in the show notes, because some people might find that interesting, but we shouldn't automatically assume that organizations that are selling food that is not classically regarded as healthy don't care, because they're doing the best they can in there. So I found that interesting. Part of the story was Puska worked with the sausage manufacturer and he got them to replace some of it with mushroom. And what was interesting is that the people couldn't tell the difference in the taste and obviously liked it, because sausage sales increased despite the fact there was less fat and less bad ingredients in it, let's say. So I found that particularly interesting. But what staggers me is, and huge credit to this guy, Puska, because he was obviously very strategic in what he did. And whilst the story sounds simple, clearly he'd thought about, right, how do I do this? I need to influence the people who are cooking the meals, the wives of the people, the men who were dying. I need to get into their psyche. So this Pesca's stew emerged that had got vegetables in it, whereas previously the mentality was vegetables are for animals. So I just think the whole story is fascinating. And as you heard in the story, Louise, the fact that there are so many claims made about food nutrition that are counterproductive. I was looking for the next story that we're going to cover, which is having breakfast a good or a bad thing? Should you have breakfast or is it better not to have breakfast? And in Googling and researching that, you absolutely find polar opposites. You find some people saying you absolutely must not have breakfast, and they explain the reasons why, and they use science to support that. And you get people on the other side who are saying breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and here are the scientific reasons why. It's like, you know, if I'm just a consumer and I want to know whether I should skip breakfast or not, who do I believe? So it's a real minefield out there. And obviously going forward, the Wellness Rack can try to be a sensible, balanced, evidence-based voice in amongst all this noise about mental well-being, food, and so on, but referring to as much of the experts as we can. So any other observations that you made on the story, Louise, about Finland and Mr. Puska?
Really, you've summed it up. Everything that you were saying is like, yeah, especially I could say that when people make small changes and they don't realise, I think it's habit, isn't it? It's like anything, that they just got used to eating things like that. They didn't like change. Obviously, the manufacturers of the foods were holding up a little bit of resistance to all of this. They thought that it wasn't going to work. But then that started to cause a little bit of an outrage. And even though they were trying to be negative, it actually brought positive results in the end. And I think that people can be very, very stubborn. And I think people are more open-minded about change, and that's it. And of course, sometimes circumstances cause us to have to change. And I think if we take what's happened in the 70s with Puska and bring it up to the modern day, circumstances here of today have changed people's thought processes around health and well-being, especially with the pandemic. And that's because people have had to open their eyes and stop doing the same old.
Now, I think one of the key things you said in your initial summary is it's all about education.
Yeah.
Give people information as to what they should do and why they should do it and what the benefits of changing their habits are, and they'll change their habits. And I know that there are some programs that you work with that, you know, really are around that nutritional awareness, making you more aware of what you eat, which we'll cover on a different podcast. So today, the first ever Wellness Rack podcast, I think we've had a good, strong start with a really good evidence-based story, Finland and Mr. Puska. But before we get into discussions about what the Wellness Rack is, which is where I'd like to focus the next part of the podcast, I'd like you to explain a little bit more about Louise Riley.
Okay, so Louise Riley, I have been, well, if you look back to, let's say, my background, I qualified in the beauty industry years ago. Then from beauty, I also qualified in nutrition, sports nutrition, weight management, psychology for obesity, advanced nutrition for sport and exercise. As you can see, I've always had an interest in health and well-being in all those sectors. And I had my own business in clothes and jewellery years ago, did all the nutrition and the beauty education. But then I became a mum to triplets. And because goodness, I became a mum to triplets, I had my hands full. And that was where I had to have my focus. But then when they were 3 and a half, I became a single parent. So I was in that, we were talking about change, weren't we? And circumstances causing us to change, and you get to a crossroads and you start to evaluate where you're going, what you want out of your life. And that was for me something that I then decided I really wanted to pick up on, something that I was passionate about, and that was health and well-being. As it turned out, I then met Ashley, who I've now been married to for 25 years, and he introduced me to the company that I'm now working alongside with the products. And I could see the potential, and the potential of working with a company with recognized products, a recognized business structure, that really fascinated me. And that's what we have been doing for the last 26 years now. But also I've been an advisory board member and been training for the company now for it's about 25 years. And I train in the UK, I train around Europe, I've done trainings in America, in lots of different countries. And so now I train on all those aspects that I've just spoken about. And then on the back of that, with our business, we then launched a brand called The Wellness Rack. And that's why I'm here today, telling you a little bit about The Wellness Rack.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The word wellness has just become, I've noticed in the last kind of 5 years in particular, there's just been this boom in the use of the word wellness. There are companies that have propped up and they've got wellness in their name. Today's consumers have their head turned when the word wellness is used. Because of modern media, social media, we've all become more aware of the opinions of the supposed purported experts on different aspects of wellness. So I find that fascinating. So before I get into the nuts and bolts of what the Wellness Rack is and what it does, I'd just like to get your opinion on some of the global wellbeing trends and the customer appetite that you're observing in what you do for wellbeing products and services.
Well, if you look at the wellness trends, if you think of how the world has changed, especially over the last 2.5 years, and I think that's really important, that because of what has happened with the pandemic, that when you look at the wellness, global wellness market, it's globally, it's worth about $4.4 trillion. So if you think about that for a moment, and then even in the UK, it's a massive $9 billion. So $9 billion on our small little island, $9 billion. But then you think, well, why is that? What is driving it? I think that's the most important thing when we look at the trends, what's driving it. Well, people have started to be more aware of how they want to look after their health on a day-to-day basis now. And it has become normal for people. It's become a normal practice to put nutritional supplements into their shopping basket. These are not luxury items anymore. They've become a necessity item. These are just the normal things that people will do. So I think that's important to look at that. But then when you actually look at what research people are searching online now, the main trends that people are searching is around their gut health, microbiome. Yeah. How many people even knew the word microbiome a few years ago? And now everyone talks about their microbiome, their gut flora. So probiotics, the understanding, not just by probiotics as a supplement, but also probiotics in the foods that you're eating. Also vitamin D. Yeah. How many people now just say, well, what vitamin D supplement do you buy? Where do you get your vitamin C supplement from? These are things that people are looking for all the time. So gut health, immune support, these are the big trends. People are also wanting to make sure that the products that they're buying, they are scientifically backed, but they also want to know that the products, the brands that they're buying, they have a longevity, the research and development is around that. They are more into companies that produce their own products and not white label products. White label products are those products that people will think they're buying that is a little bit unique, but it's a company like a company that you get on the big company that we all know as a manufacturer of pharmaceutical and medical on the high street, and they make it for so many other companies and just put their label on it, and then they also produce it themselves at half the price. So people are looking for uniqueness, and they want to have the scientifically backed. And also people are now putting their money into wellness retreats. They're looking at yoga, they're looking at mindfulness. Now, we talk about mindfulness now as something that is a normal practice, whereas a few years ago said mental health, people thought about it in a different way. So people want to stay positive and focused. So these are all the trends, but people are looking for quality.
One of the things to pick up on there, Louise, as you know, I'm involved in the holiday industry, in the running of a holiday resort. One of the many things that, many hats that I wear, and you know, because we've had conversations about the growing wellness tourism sector. So people who are now insistent when they book their holiday that that holiday resort has got a fitness room, it's got a sauna, it's got a swimming pool, it's got the ability to access various different treatments. Watch this space, you know, in terms of what's going on. This is already massive. And so you've now got this, I guess, stampede of the hospitality players that are thinking, we need to offer more than just a swimming pool and a fitness room. How do we do that? And what can we offer that is truly scientifically backed? So I think we're going to see a huge move into that. And maybe on a future edition of the Wellness Right podcast, we can talk about some of the wellness activities that are taking place in different holiday environments. So, okay, that's great to get your feedback on this massive well-being industry globally. So come on then, what is the Wellness Rack? What is it about?
I would always ask the question to, when I'm talking to somebody about the Wellness Rack. So this is a business-to-business concept. So if I'm talking to someone who has a business, an already established business, in what I like to call the look good, feel good sector. And if you look at how are you going to increase your profit margin, when you're in business, you're always looking at a way to grow your business, improve your business and expand. But even if you had a full diary and you had no more space, you're absolutely not having any cancellations. So let's just put it this way, that there's no more hours in the day, there's no more days in the week, weeks in the years that you can physically fit in any more treatments, yeah?
Yep.
And you don't want to put your prices up because you need to make sure you're competitive, and actually maybe taking on another premises and duplicating yourself in that way is not an option. How can you bring more profit into your already established business? And of course, with the way that things are changing, businesses, like all businesses, are going to have more expense, more overheads, more costs going out. So how can you move forward? What can you do? Yeah. Well, obviously, you have time with a client. So the Wellness Wrap is a concept where you can work with your clients, your trusted database of clients, and make that time with them. Let's just say it's an hour. So you work it and then you've got a client you're with without. How can you make that time more cost effective in that hour? How can you help that client in more ways than maybe waxing their legs, doing a massage, doing their hair, doing a personal training hour? How can you help them in more ways than that? And that's the basics of how it works, the concept.
So listening to that, Louise, I would guess you explained that this is a B2B. So the Wellness Rack really is not selling to the end consumer as far as the main concept. You are looking to work with organizations that are maybe hairdressers, reflexologists, yoga specialists, Pilates, any service industry, I guess, any industry that is kind of operating on the edges of the wellness sector in some way, the look good, feel good sector. What you're saying is that you've got an opportunity via the Wellness Rack for them to embrace products and services that can delight the customer, give the customer help, give them something that they're interested in and probably already buying different variations of it, not as good a variations in different environments. What you're saying is a business could actually embrace the wellness rack related products. Is that correct? Have I interpreted that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. So all of those, and also into the animal sector as well. And also, as you've learned about hotels, spas, the leisure industry, all those areas. But I think one of the key things is it's not about replacing what they've already got. It's adding in. So one of the biggest things for me, I would not go and talk to a hairdresser about shampoo. I would not go and talk to a beauty therapist about changing their skincare regime. Product. What is the point of that? It's how you can help your client in more ways. So when we were talking earlier about the industries, you know, people are spending money. So let's say you are a hairdresser, you know, people are spending money on nutritional supplements for their immune health. So because they trust and believe in you, and that's why they come back to you time and time again, that you could recommend a supplement, a vitamin D supplement, as we've already mentioned, that we could recommend a probiotic for their microbiome, because they'd rather get those products through referral recommendation marketing, because that's what we all do, don't we? We ask our friends and family, do they know a painter and a decorator? We ask people, I'm going on holiday, and I know you've been there before, could you recommend a restaurant? We do it all the time because we trust those people around us. Yeah. So it makes sense to do that. Now, the concept going one pace further is that most of these businesses, if you want to start opening accounts with companies to take in these kind of products, normally you're having to spend a lot of money opening an account. You've got to buy products. You've got stock that's sitting on shelves going dusty and out of date. And that is not the concept here. You can have an account open for free. We have some options, but obviously, if people want to discuss that in more detail, then I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep it surface level. But essentially, what you're saying, Louise, is the Wellness Rack is an opportunity to embrace unique, high quality products that sit alongside and can complement your business. And there is no need, like some accounts, you have what's known as a trade account. And in order to open a trade account, your first purchase might need to be, let's say, £1,000. What I'm hearing you're saying is that the Wellness Rack doesn't cost any money to open an account, and there is no £1,000 minimum spend, for example.
Yeah. Now, the reason it's called a Wellness Rack, not only do you get an account for free, but you'll get a nice, neat display stand if that's what you want. Obviously, if people say, actually, I've got a place within my premises that I want to put some samples on, you will also get a selection of full-size samples or testers. You get 8 of those, and you can choose which ones that you want out of the selection. You'll get some literature. You'll get everything that you need to have to get yourself up and running. There's also, say, the point of sale. Literature is also there. So everything has been done for you. And with my experience and my knowledge, I'm on hand as well to be able to answer any questions. We have the Wellness Rack has a 24-hour support line in place. So we can also do all of that. There's educational, online learning. You can expand that. So there's a lot going on, and it's just a very, very simple, easy process where all the hard work has been done for you.
Sounds exciting. It sounds to me like a full service, carefully thought out opportunity for a business to add a new profit line, a new delight your customer line, where a lot of the work's been done for you.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. You know, you want to, as a business owner, focus on your business, but Smart Business Alliance is all about looking for extra avenues of income into your already established business. And that's the whole idea, working smart with the database that you already have in place.
Now, again, this podcast is not designed to go into a huge amount of detail around the product, because the whole idea is people that are listening to this, businesses that are listening to this, that I guess qualify in terms of the sectors they're in, to be pre-positioned to be interested in this, can actually contact you or us via the podcast and the links that are provided in the show notes. But just give me a flavour, if I may, Louise, give me a flavour for the range of products? What type of products are included in there?
Okay, so when we talk about the samples, it makes sense really to have the samples which we call our top selling products. It makes it easier. But one of the things the products are really known for is the main ingredient of aloe vera. And so the first thing is a lot of people now are aware of the benefits of drinking aloe. So they have, there's four different, in fact, five different drinks, I should say, all based on aloe vera. Once again, I'm not doing a product training now, but that is one of the great unique areas that you wouldn't be able to get those same products anywhere else. You can't get them on the high street. There's also products which are to do with sports performance, weight management, mindfulness. We also have a whole range of nutritional support products, skincare, hair care, personal care, children's nutrition, animal care. So you can see a whole array of areas to go into.
Okay, fantastic. So in terms of your message to anyone that's listening to this that's maybe curious, and we are not being deliberately cryptic, but just trying to respect time and literally leaving the message to anyone that's curious about this, get in touch. But if any business is interested in exploring what the Wellness Rack is about and how it works for them, what do you offer? What do you do? What type of information can you provide to a business that's listening to this and thinking, okay, they've got me curious, I've got an opportunity to have something that doesn't cost me anything to start up. I've got some sample, full-size sample products. They've said that the marketing materials are all sorted, so I've got things to show my customer. This all sounds fantastic, but I want to know the detail. I want to know the devil in the detail. What would you be able to say to people that are listening and thinking that, Louise?
Okay, so we have a whole variety of information, but what I would start with, very, very simple process. We have an information booklet, and that is going to give an overview to how it works, a little bit of understanding of the marketplace and also the profit margins that can be made. Once someone has looked at that information, if they're then curious to know more, then we go through the nitty-gritty. And the reason we have to do it like that is because everybody's unique. And so going from that generic understanding of what the Wellness Rack is and the profit margins that are available, we then need to sit down on a one-to-one basis to understand what that business is all about, the size of the business, the portfolio of the business, and how the Wellness Rack can come into the business. That's the most important thing, to tailor-make it and personalize it. We'll then sit down and give some more information about the opportunities that are available. And of course, the most important thing about that is working at a face-to-face level, because that's how we are. We like to be really supportive like that. So we can do some online, we can give some general information that we have in booklets, and then we can move on to a personal one-to-one.
So just follow on from that, Louise, how specific are you in answering the questions that any business is going to have? Do you literally have an answer for absolutely everything and give them literally, if they're interested at the end of, let's say, a half an hour meeting, it can be good to go fairly quickly? How close is that to the real scenario? What's on offer here?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happens. I mean, we answer all the questions. And in fact, what we do when we are sitting down on a one-to-one, we have some information, and that is all based on the general questions that we get back. So we kind of have preempted what people are going to ask us at that business level. Then if people say, yeah, I'm ready for this, I want to get going, we can open the accounts, we can do it straight away, we can do it online. And then the process, we activate the account, we go through how to do all of that, and that can happen straight away. We then sit down again and look at the actual rack, what products you want to put onto that rack, personalize it again, and then start to look at the other aspects of marketing that we can do to support you and your clients. We can organize VIP events. In fact, I've just been speaking to a new salon today, and we're just in the process of organizing a VIP event there for her clients. And so these are lots of different things that we can do, but we can get that running straight away. but obviously we also want to personalize it.
So what I'm hearing, Louise, is it's not just a question of you signing a business up to the Wellness Rack, giving them some sample products and some literature for their customers and leaving them to it. What I'm hearing is that there's some hand-holding that goes on in the early stages to get them up and running. Have I understood that correctly?
Yeah, and one of the things is that we have an information video, which is what you might call it your induction video, which it's online and it's around about 45 minutes, but very, very simple. And it just gives you some of the tips on how to get the most out of the Wellness Rack within your business. And what we've done, we've gone through that. We've answered the kind of the questions that a lot of people have asked. Once again, preempted that. So that's going to help you to get the most out of taking the Wellness Rack into your business. And then once again, there is that support structure in place, as you said, holding somebody's hand as much as they want it, but also respecting the fact that we're not trying to take over their business. We're there to support at the level that they wish.
Well, that was Louise Riley, Director of the Wellness Rack, talking specifically about how businesses in the look good, feel good sector can add a new customer offering that revolves around all aspects of wellness, or almost all aspects of wellness, an opportunity to deepen relationships with your existing customers and, of course, to make worthwhile new profit. This brings our first ever Wellness Rack podcast to a close. I hope you enjoyed the fascinating and inspiring story about Finland and the work of Mr. Puska and what they did to transform the health of Finnish people. On the next episode of the Wellness Rack, we will tackle the subject of breakfast. Is it really the most important meal of the day, or is it best to skip it? We'll present both sides of the argument and look at the most convincing science and what that has to say. Well, thank you for taking time to listen to this publication. If you've enjoyed it, it would really help us if you could like and subscribe and perhaps share a link to the podcast with people you know are into the subject of wellness and who will take some value from this and our up-and-coming episodes. Until next time, take care of yourselves and keep smiling.